Hello again. I'm sure that you're finding out new and interesting things about people and about yourself as you begin to work with strategies. Now, we've talked so far about elicitation or discovering people's strategies. We've talked about utilization of their strategies. Now it's time to take a look at how to actually change somebody's strategy. If somebody's got a strategy that's not working for them, let me give you a good example of what I'm talking about. I had a gentleman that came into one of my trainings. He had a belief that he was a poor speller, and he said that everybody in his family were poor spellers. He said that he was dyslexic. People have strategies that they utilize for spelling. There's good spelling strategies and there's poor spelling strategies. So we worked with his spelling strategy on stage for about 5 minutes, and by the end of that, he was able to spell a word that he couldn't previously spell both backwards and forwards. When somebody has a good spelling strategy, they'll be able to spell a word backwards as well as forwards. A visual spelling strategy is the best spelling strategy to have. Now, once again, if it's not broken, don't fix it. But if something's not working for you, there's some wonderful things that we can do in terms of changing things like that, changing a spelling strategy. In fact, people that talk about being dyslexic, dyslexia is simply an ineffective strategy that somebody's running in their mind, which produces a result which is less than desired. So these types of things are actually quite easy to change as we begin working with strategies. Let's talk about one way that you might change somebody's strategy. We'll actually teach you how to work with spelling strategies when you join us for the practitioner training and how to change somebody's spelling strategy. You see, I believe that there's no such thing as learning disabilities. There's only teaching disabilities. It's only inflexible teachers and students who are using ineffective strategies. So as we begin to learn new strategies, I believe that a world of possibilities opens up for us. So there's no such thing as learning disabilities, only teaching disabilities, inflexible teachers, and students who are using ineffective strategies. And when they learn new strategies, they really begin to tap into their full potential, their unlimited potential. So let's talk about how you might change somebody's strategy if their strategy isn't working for them, or change your own strategy if it's not working for you. Remember, we talked earlier in our training series about the notion of a pattern interrupt, or a break state, or interrupting somebody's pattern. That's the notion of scratching a record. So you've got a jukebox in your mind that plays different records, and each record has its own behavior associated to it. Now the question is, are your behaviors supportive of you or not? Do you like the record you're playing at any given time? And if you're not, what we can do with NLP is interrupt that pattern. We can scratch that record so you can't play it the same way again. So let's talk about one conversational way that you could change or interrupt somebody's strategy, where you could actually go inside, change their strategy. So the conversational method that I'll be teaching you on this CD is a conversational method for use with other people. There are some techniques in this series that are for you, and there's some techniques that are used for coaching others or for creating synergistic relationships. This is an example of a technique that would probably be better suited for working with somebody else. So the technique is called the Logical Levels of Therapy, and it appears in your manual under the Strategies section. So if you want to follow along, you can. The Logical Levels of Therapy is a really fun process to do that assists people in doing a couple of different things. First off, it interrupts their pattern. It interrupts their strategy. Secondly, what it does is, remember we talked about at the beginning of our training series, the difference between being at the cause side of the cause and effect equation versus being at the effect side of the cause and effect equation. If somebody's having a problem with a strategy, they're going to be at the effect. It's something that's happening to them. Our goal is going to be to get them at cause. And this pattern that I'm about to teach you is a wonderful pattern for moving them from effect to cause as well, linguistically. So not just will you be able to interrupt their strategy, but you'll also assist them in moving to the cause side of the equation. And your job as a coach, if you're coaching either your children or if you're coaching your employees or if you're coaching other people around you, if you're mentoring somebody or if you're creating synergistic relationships with other people and assisting them to live up to their full potential, this pattern will give you the tools to do that. So I'd like to share with you a quick story of a time that I used this pattern with a student in one of my courses. So she was attending my NLP practitioner training and she came to me and she had a phobia of parking garages. Now, we have a specific technique that we utilize with phobias, but the logical levels of therapy, really, because it shakes up a person's hold on their model of the world, it's really a nice technique to utilize sometimes even before the normal phobia process. So I asked her, I brought her up on stage and I asked her the question. I said, well, you've got this problem. Every time you go into a parking garage, you have this phobia. She says, I freak out. Those were her words. I said, okay. I said, well, how do you do that? I'm so curious. How do you do that? First off, that in and of itself interrupted her pattern. She was like, what? I said, well, yeah, how do you do that? I mean, do you remember to do it all the time? Is there ever a time when you forget about it? And she said, well, no, there's never a time when I forget about it. I said, are you sure? And she had to think for a second. And she said, well, I don't think so. I said, really? I said, because, you know, I can't even remember to take out the trash. But you remember to do this behavior. That's just so fascinating to me. So how do you do it? I said, what's the first thing that you have to do in order to do that problem? I said, do you make a picture in your mind? Do you say something to yourself? Do you look at something? What's the first thing that you have to do? And she said, well, I drive into the parking garage. I said, yeah, what happens next? Do you make a picture in your mind? Do you talk to yourself about it? Do you get a feeling in your body? She said, I picture it being dark inside. I said, okay. Huh. I said, and what happens next? So you go in there, I got that part, and then what do you do next? Do you make a picture in your mind? Do you talk to yourself about it? She said, well, then I say, this is going to be scary. And I said, okay. And then what do you do next? Do you make a picture? Do you get a feeling? She said, well, then I imagine it will be dangerous. And I said, well, how do you imagine that? Do you say something to yourself or do you make a picture in your mind? She said, well, I guess I just say to myself, this probably is not a good place for me to be. I said, okay. I said, so then what happens? Do you make a picture? She said, well, then I just get this feeling in my stomach. And I said, well, what kind of feeling is it? She says, like, it's this turning in my gut. And I said, okay. And then what happens? She said, well, then I freak out. I said, okay. Huh. Okay, that's interesting. So could you teach me how to do it? If I were a temporary agency and I was coming in to take your place because I wouldn't want to forget about this problem, I said, could you teach me how to do it? Because like, I can't remember things. I can't even remember to take out the garbage. So would you teach me how to do this problem? And she said, well, sure, I'll teach you how to do the problem. I said, well, what's the first thing I have to do? She said, well, you'd have to drive into the parking garage. I said, okay. I said, am I singing when I'm driving in? And she said, no, you're not singing. I said, okay, okay, okay. I'm not singing. So I'm driving in the parking garage. And what do I do then? And she said, well, you got to make the picture in your mind. I said, oh, yeah. I said, what do I make a picture in my mind of me having a good time walking through the parking garage, smiling and whistling a tune? And she said, no, you don't make that picture in your mind. I said, well, could I? And if I did, would it still work? And she had to stop and think about it for a second. She said, well, no, it wouldn't work. I said, okay, I better not do that. I said, so what do I do next? I said, I'm driving in the parking garage. I make a picture in my mind of me smiling and singing a whistle and a tune. And she's like, no, 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 no. I said, okay, so after the picture? She said, well, then you got to talk to yourself about it. I say, okay. Do I say to myself, I love parking garages? And she said, well, no, you don't say I love parking garages. I said, well, could I and would it still work? And she tries it on again. She goes, well, no, it wouldn't still work. I said, okay, I better not do that then. I said, so I'm driving into the garage. I'm smiling. I'm whistling a tune. And I say to myself, I love parking garages. And then what do I do? She says, well, then next you've got to say, it's probably not the best thing for me to be in here. And I said, okay, what voice is that in? I said, is it in Mickey Mouse's voice like this? Is it really high? And she said, no, it's not in Mickey Mouse's voice. And I said, well, if it was, would it still work? And she laughs and she says, no, it wouldn't work. I said, oh, okay, I better not do that then. Because I wouldn't want to forget about it. And then I said, okay, and then I got some sort of a feeling, don't I? And she goes, I don't know. And I said, well, I've got to get the feeling, right? Because I wouldn't want to forget about this problem. So what is it? Is it like this tickling feeling in my little toe? And she said, no, it's not a tickling feeling in your little toe. And I said, well, if it was, would it still work? Could it be and still work? And she said, no, it couldn't be. I said, oh, okay, I couldn't do that then. I wouldn't want to do that. And so then I asked her, what was the problem? And she's like, I don't know anymore. Then every time that we mentioned parking garages, she would find herself laughing. And in fact, she came back to class after taking a one-week break, and she said she couldn't stop driving in parking garages. She loved it. Now, by the way, we built in an ecology frame for that change work as well, so we also made sure that she knew when a parking garage was safe versus unsafe to go into. So that's an example of utilizing the logical levels of therapy.